If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 3 this afternoon. You know, this is an exciting time. I have a picture in my office, and she wrote something to it. I can't remember exactly what the word said, but the picture she was seeing, I remember I was, this picture's, she's on this side of me, and I'm squat down like this, and she's sitting there, and I look at that picture, she was like 3 years old, and now 16, I got to look up, or she's got to squat down. I mean, it's funny, but it's just amazing, the transformation, not just physically, but also spiritually. As she looks back at this time, at this milestone, this landmark in her life, if you will, it's a crossroad. It's something that she has finished, and she is beginning anew something else. And that's the way life is. Every day's a new beginning. And as you think about that and think about Kelsey and her growing up, I'm reminded of how much that she loves the Lord, and has she in this church, she's been serving the Lord over the years. You'd ask her to sing or whatnot, and she would be willing to do those things. And I just see so much growth in her. And of course, that's because of her parents who raised her, gave her the strength and stability at home, and were the examples. And then, of course, through God's Word. And it's just so neat to see that in a young person's life today, in a time when we're living that most people don't, young people don't even know what the purpose is that they're here on earth. And yet, I believe she has found this out. And of course, it's because the single most important relationship, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ, as she has put her faith in the Lord, and she is continuing forward. I just want to encourage her today, as 2 Timothy, Paul was writing in chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, he said to Timothy, but I'd like to say to Kelsey today, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at this in the next few moments in the Word of God, I just want to challenge Kelsey specifically, but everybody in this room as well, that it's important who you serve and what you do with your life. And just don't make a mistake and think that it's not. If you have your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Most of us know these passages. If you don't, that's fine. But there's Bibles in the pews. If you don't have one, you're welcome to open that up to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 7. And if you need to look in the table contents, do that, whatever it takes. But find your place there as we look and we read this afternoon. In verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this afternoon. And as we look at this in the next few moments, I hope and pray that the words here will not fall on deaf ears, but they'll fall on open hearts. And Father, as we are here to celebrate the milestone of graduation for Kelsey, I pray again that you would give her the strength to take up the mantle and to continue on those things she has learned. And not only the things she has learned, but the things you're going to teach her. Father, I just pray now you'd have your way in this service. The words I share, let them be yours, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, as we look at this passage, Paul is writing to the church here. He's trying to encourage the church and trying to help them, but he's given his heart. He's talking about what he went through, how he experienced his life in situations that he was prior to his salvation, the things that he worked so hard for, the things that he thought were important. He said he counted those but dung. And as we look at this morning, or this afternoon, I guess we're already into, we're going to look at a couple points. One of them is, the first one is, be sure of your salvation. That's the first thing. Kelsey, that's the first thing you need to make sure you've nailed that down. Be sure of your salvation. The second point is, be secure in your salvation. A lot of people have been saved, and they're not secure in their salvation. There's doubts, and there's problems, there are difficulties. And so you want to be certain that you know that you're saved. And you want to also continue to follow the Lord and serve Him. So, number one, be sure of your salvation. Verses 7 and 9, we see as Paul is writing, he's talking about the things that he did prior, basically, to his salvation. The things that, as he was trying to serve God, they didn't count for anything. In fact, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted, he said, loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He's saying, everything in my life I've given up. Why? Because they were useless. They didn't help me. They weren't anything that was for the cause of Christ. That is what I am striving for, the things of Christ. And he says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Paul thought he was righteous. He says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he's saying, count the cost. As we look at our lives, the cost. What have we done? What have we made of our lives? Do you understand that the things that we do, they are important to us for sure, but are they important to God? Is this something that God would look at and be pleased with? You see, every one of us are going to stand before a holy God. Every single one of us. And not just us. Everybody in the world. And the decisions we make today, we're going to get an account for. And that's why it's so important to count and to think of these things. Paul, on the road to Damascus, in Acts chapter 9, we're not going to go there, his life was completely transformed. He was trying to serve God, and yet God said, through Jesus Christ, you're doing the wrong thing. That day he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life changed forever. And so he is looking back on that, and remembering the past. And he's saying, those things that I did that I thought were good, they were nothing but dung. They were all about the loss. It was all done in the flesh. But then he looks and he talks about the gains. The gains are the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And that knowledge is something that each one of us needs to understand. And, you know, to really understand Christ and understand what He did and why He did it, you need to be in the Word of God to find those things out. And then you also need to realize that it requires a relationship. You know, the people you know today, Kelsey, your family knows you, right? But that's a relationship. They have a relationship with you. They talk to you. They spent time with you. That's the same thing that God wants with us. And so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that we would have that relationship, that we could commune with God. That is the gain. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Jim Elliot, a missionary many people know, said, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And the fact is, if we're not careful, if we don't understand about the relationship, we can lose something that's very valuable. It's called your life. And it's important that you don't do that. See, Paul was righteous in his early life. As a Pharisee, he was self-righteous. He thought he was serving God. He thought he was following God.
In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, he wrote later after salvation, he said, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, he came to the understanding that there was something wrong in his life, that he had a problem. Kelsey, she did the same thing. Now, I don't know that she was on the road to Damascus when it happened. Don't think so. But she met the Lord. And through that meeting, they developed a relationship. And you say, how did that happen? Well, let me explain that to you. First off, she understood that she was a sinner. Now, why are we sinners? It's funny because I think we don't understand that sometimes. We think we're sinners because we sin. That's not why you're a sinner. You sin because you're a sinner. You're a sinner first, and then you do the sin. See, that's the way it kind of works. So, well, how did that happen? I mean, as a baby and a child growing up, I didn't do anything bad. Not really. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it explains that to us. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And all it's explained to us is that because of Adam and Eve, in the perfect place with God, they made a decision. The decision was to disobey God. And because of that decision, God had to remove them from paradise or the Garden of Eden so they couldn't be there and commune with Him anymore. Why? Because God will not tolerate and cannot tolerate sin in His presence. You see, that's the problem. And so because of Adam's sin, we've all sinned, Romans 5:12 says. Wherefore is by one man sin. So we're all made sinners. So I want to tell you something. You can't do anything about that. You can't go get in the shower and clean yourself up and say, "Well, I'm clean today." You can't go and do a bunch of good works, give a lot of money. You can't even join the church. Say a prayer. Get baptized. There's no good work you can do to change the fact that you're a sinner. I like to use this example. I've done it many times, so y'all have heard it, just forget it. The rest of you, if you never heard it, good. But anyway, you think about animals. And a lot of you know animals, probably. Animals have a certain behavior, do they not? I mean, cats, they kind of like act like cats. I haven't seen any cats bark. Anybody seen a cat bark? If you got one, it's probably an anomaly. Or a dog, you go meow, you know, or whatever. But the point is that those animals, God made them a certain way, and it's innate in their character that they're going to do certain things. That's why we sin. That's our character. Now, God didn't make us that way. Adam did. And that's our problem. I cannot, as a sinner, ever commune with the Holy God. You know, we say all the time, we have funerals, and we know sometimes we go to funerals, this person lived a wicked life, and we say, "Well, he's in heaven today." That's not true, folks. There's only one way to get there. And I want to share that with you because it is important. So the first fact is you have to understand that you're a sinner and we can do nothing about it. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." You say, what about Mary? Mother Mary, she was a holy woman, mother of God. She was a human being that had sin in her life. I'm sorry. God used her, but God didn't bring Jesus into this world other than by the Holy Ghost Himself. That's the fact. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That word "all" means all. "And because of sin, we deserve death. For the wages of sin is death." But let me tell you, there's good news. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is what we need to understand. Kelsey, in her own power, had no strength to change her condition. I, when I was in that condition, had no power in myself to do it. I tried to do it. I tried to live a godly life. I tried to walk with God. But you can't walk with Him if you don't know Him. And that's so important. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is absolutely nothing we can do to earn it. So how do we change? What do we got to do? I'm glad you asked. As sinners, we're doomed, but God has given us a gift. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm not going to run you around too much, but go to John chapter 3 for a second. John chapter 3. I'd like you to turn over there and just look at this. John chapter 3. Most of you know this, or a lot of you do, not most, but a lot. But it's still, it's good. It's in here. It's good for our to be remembered as we go through the Word of God to look these verses often. But I want you, as I read these, and you look at them on the page in your Bible, I want you to think about what they are saying. It says in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This afternoon I want you to know that God is not standing in heaven looking down and saying, "You're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell." No, He's up there, He's looking down and saying, "I sent my Son, I love you, choose Jesus. Choose Jesus." And He wants us to do that because He wants to commune with us. I don't even understand that. Not really. As a sinner lost on my way to hell, I could never even fathom the fact that God loved me. See, the Bible says, "But God commends love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So here as I am living my life and living like the world and chasing the world's philosophy, God's saying, "I still love you. Even though you're a sinner, I still love you." And I can't even understand that. But I can understand the Word of God. I can understand what it says. And God allowed me to understand that He sent His Son for me, for Bruce Townsend. And so what do I have to do? What is the what's going to make the difference in my life? And again, be sure of your salvation. It requires repentance. What is repentance? It's a change of mind that leads to a change in the direction of your life. It's turning to God, which then in turn you turn from sin. It's knowing God is right. When I read the Bible and the first time I understood it, and I read it a lot, the day I figured I was lost, I figured it out because I was a sinner, and I knew that Jesus died for me, I said, "God, I am a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I know I deserve to go to hell, and I know Jesus died for me." And so I understood for the first time what it takes. It's simple as ABC. Let me give it to you real quick. A is for accept. Accept the fact that you're a sinner. Accept the fact that you can't save yourself. Accept the fact there's only one way. B is for believe. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. That He alone can solve your problem. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is it. That's the only way. And then the C is for call. Call on God confessing your sin. Call on God believing Jesus died for you personally. Call on Jesus to save you. In Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is writing, he's explaining this whole plan in a nutshell in a couple verses. And I want you to see this morning, or this afternoon, if you've never understood this, here it is. And Paul has given it to us and it's clear. In verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But pastor, that's too easy. What are you talking about? If I confess and believe, that's all it takes. It's not something that is so hard to understand, although we make it hard. I shared with people before and they say, "Oh, that's just too simple. I got to do something." No, you don't. God made the plan very easy. All you have to do is understand it and through the Spirit of God, be led to God to trust in Him. It's just as simple as He said, if you'll believe, confess and believe. He goes on and says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so this afternoon, I want you to know, to be sure of your salvation, you just need to have that relationship. Understand, there's been a time and a place where you have been what we call born again. I know that you've been birthed, because you're in this room. I don't think we have any aliens here. And Jesus compares that birth, the physical, to the spiritual. Just as you were born once at a particular time, you need to be born again once at a particular time. And that happens when you agree with God about your sin, realizing you're lost, you understand that Jesus died for you, and you call on Him, confessing your sin and asking Him to save you. That's important, folks. It's one of the most important things I can share with you today. But then let's go on to the next. Be secure in your salvation. In other words, once you're saved, you need to understand you're always saved. But how do you do that? How can you ensure that? Well, you know, our security in this life rests in our knowledge of Christ. And that's what Paul was saying. Let's go back over to Philippians, if you would. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, and I'm going to look at verse 11, Paul writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So what he's saying here, he's talking about Jesus Christ, that he may know him. In other words, he wanted to know him in the most important way you can, by the sufferings of Christ's life. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He suffered for our sins. His blood was shed. He was buried. He rose again. Of course, he lives today. And we understand that. But the fact is, now as we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have made that transition from being the old man into the new creature. We need to walk as though we are that new creature. And it's talking about fellowship. When you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, He will make you free, the Bible says. Make you free from serving sin. Make you free to serve God. And it's a personal thing, that I may know Him. You see that personal pronoun in there is I. And that's what Paul is saying to us, and that's what Kelsey understands, and that's what we all need to understand, is that I may know Him. And it's not just by your acquaintance. We all have acquaintances that we know and we wave to and all that. But this is talking about a relationship that's stronger than any relationship you have on this earth, by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So our security is demonstrated in our lives by our beliefs. In 2 Peter chapter 1, please turn there if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll give you a second if you're turning in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, get one. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here Peter is teaching us, as well as others, about this situation that he knows that's going to help us to be secure in our salvation. He says here in verse 3, he says, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So what he's saying is, as we have grown in this, as we have put our faith and trust in Jesus, now we can have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has transformed our lives. It has made us something different than we are. We are becoming godly. And it's through that knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power that you have as a Christian. You say to yourself, well, I don't even understand that. If you've never been born again, you can't understand that. There is power in God, and that power resides in Jesus Christ's death on the cross. The fact that He died and He's buried and He rose again, and that power is given to us through the Spirit of God. Christians can't live the Christian life without it. And people who don't know Christ don't have no idea what it is. It's the power of God. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You can be secure in what God has given to you because you are kept by Him, not by yourself. And so we have Him. We have the knowledge of Him. We understand who Jesus is, of His person, of His purpose, of His guidance in what He wants us to do. It's not just a fuzzy perception of God and who He is. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He says, and Jesus is speaking, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. So it's all about the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how we know we're secure in what God has given to us. He's given us something else. In verse 4 He says, whereby, and we're in 2 Peter still, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Divine nature. Where does that come from? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The divine nature. And through that divine nature, He's going to give us this precious promises that it will help us to encourage others and helps encourage us as well. It's talking about faith. In verse 5, He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we make sure that we're secure in our salvation? Allow God to work through us and put these things into our lives. Kelsey, I want you to understand that as you grow, you're going to be tested. And these are the very things that you're going to need to pass the test. To just continue on. It's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, being faithful. And He tells us that we'll have more knowledge of Him. There'll be more fruit of the things of God. But also in verse 10, we'll skip verse 9 for now. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You'll never have a problem with asking the question, as so many young people do today, am I really saved? As I went to Ambassador Baptist College years ago, I was in a class. It was a class you had to give your testimony. And most of the kids in the class were 18, 19, 20, something like that. I was 40. And anyway, we had to give testimonies. And I don't know how many times they got up and said, I got saved when I was 4. And I wasn't sure. And I got saved at a camp. It was over and over and over again. And that's fine. That's good. I'm glad they made sure of that. But the thing is, they weren't sure when they thought it happened the first time. And I want you to know you can be sure. That's why I don't baptize children that come to me and say I'm saved and can't explain what salvation is. It's not going to happen. Why? Because I don't want to give them false perception that they're saved because of baptism. Baptism doesn't save anybody. It's only a relationship with Christ. It's so important to know that. And He wants us to know Him in a way that it's an intimate relationship. It's knowing that you can depend on Jesus no matter what situation you're in. Kelsey, when you go to Bible college, you're going to have tests that come up. And you're going to have to fill out the paper. Hopefully put the right answers on there. You've already had tests in your life. But through those, we need to also trust God. Do what we're supposed to do and trust that God is going to help us. I don't know how many times God has brought the answer back to my remembrance in a different situation. He does that because He cares for me and because I am trying to walk with Him, as a lot of people in this room. So be sure you're saved. Be secure in your salvation. But also, lastly, be surrendered to the Savior. You know, this is one of the biggest problems Christianity has today, is folks don't understand what it is to surrender their lives. They may go to church, they may talk about the blessings of God, but yet we hold back so much. And that's what Paul is trying to encourage the church there at Philippi. And he's talking again about himself and his desire and his purpose. He says in verse 12, says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. And when I think about somebody being perfect, I think about Paul. In my mind, he's one of the perfect, most perfect Christians there are, you know, that walk. Although he's not, but that's who I think of. He's the example. Humanly speaking, there's an example, or a human being. Of course, Christ is the true example. But that's what he's trying to teach us, is Christ is the example. He says he wasn't perfect yet. He hadn't attained. But then he says, I follow after. And as you think about that, he is following after. He is trying to grow in grace, trying to be what Christ has called him to be. In other words, he says, I am pursuing, I am pressing. He has given us the sense that Jesus said when he was on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Paul is saying, I hunger and I thirst after knowing Christ, knowing the things that he has gone through, knowing the things that he wants me to do, knowing the things that how he wants me to live. He's wanting to really know that. He says, I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended to Christ Jesus. You see, Paul was dissatisfied with his life because he knew he hadn't arrived yet. He wasn't where he wanted to be yet. And I'm afraid too many of us become complacent. Are we plateau in our Christian life? In other words, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and so I've been doing this and doing that, and I feel like I'm right there where I need to be. Well, I want to tell you today, there's nobody that's finished the race. Nobody that is done. You see, it's a steady climb up all your life. All your life until you meet the Lord. Why? Because He has something new for you every day. He's got something that he wants to teach you and to help you and to grow you. And Paul is saying, I follow after. He knew that he hadn't arrived. He said in his mind, there's more to know. There's more to grow and more to go. We got things to do. And if you look at that verse 12, he said, I am apprehended of Christ. Understand what he's talking about and what he really means. He's talking about the fact that he has Christ and he wants to have more. Christ has him and he wants to have more of Christ. See, he sold out when he got saved, when he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? But yet he still hasn't attained. He hasn't gotten it all, and he knows there's more to get. And that's the way we ought to live our lives. Kelsey, as you continue to transform and you continue to grow, live your life seeking, thinking about looking forward, thinking about getting closer to the Lord. Yes, he tells us to forget those things that are past, and the past is a good teacher, but we don't dwell on the past. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are saved completely, past, present, and future. He wants us to look at our lives and he tells us to forget and to reach forth. He wants us to understand that he's got something for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul writes here, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And what he's talking about is chapter 11, talking about those who are faithful. For us today in this room, it's for those that we know that are Christians and they're faithful. They're part of the witnesses. And so we can look at those folks and say, these people really believe. These people really trust Christ. So because of that, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And what he's talking about, the weights, he's talking about there's things that hinder us from serving God. That doesn't mean they're bad things. They're just things that we need to put away. We need to get rid of in our lives so we can be more effective, so we can run faster, so we can continue the course. And of course, sin is sin, and there's nothing you can say other than the fact that that's something that's disobedience to God. But he says, put those away. In verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Paul is talking about pressing toward that mark. He's talking about endeavor. He's talking about being compelled or constrained. He's determined to follow Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the mark for the prize. He says, we have a target. We have a goal. And as a Christian, every one of us has a goal and a target. Sometimes we set that goal a lot lower than we should. We set that goal to where we can actually reach it and attain it ourselves instead of allowing God to work through us that we might be able to attain that goal. And that's what Paul is demonstrating in this passage, is that I am pressing toward the mark for the prize. And his prize is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be made perfect, to be what God has called him to be. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What that verse is teaching us is that everything that we do as a Christian in the will of God is going to work out for good. It doesn't mean that just because I'm a Christian, everything I do is going to work out for good. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about those that are called, okay? Those that love God. And we get that wrong sometimes. He goes on in that same passage, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many of your salvation. So what he's talking about is that being that predestinated individual is someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus. And since you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he is wanting to conform you, to change you and make you like Christ. That's our goal. He called it a high calling. And of course, this is a sense of moving upward. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, that ye should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. As we think about that, and as Kelsey is thinking about this milestone, she's got the rest of her life to live. 16 years old, right? That's young. I can almost remember that. No. So you got a whole lot of time of living until the Lord comes back, unless he comes back sooner, obviously. And what he wants in your life is that you stay focused. Now, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to try to dissuade you from doing right. It could be friends, sometimes family even, that will say, oh, you don't want to do that. You always stay focused on Christ. Do what he says, because he will never mislead you. I might mislead you. Christ will never mislead you. And that's what Paul is trying to teach us. So really, we want to understand today, I believe Kelsey's secure in her salvation. I believe she knows that she's saved and born again. She put her faith and trust in Jesus. I just want her to continue in that. I'm going to read this and we'll be done. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, God's calling is higher than any other calling that there ever was. And so today, I just want to challenge Kelsey to continue in the things you've learned and continue learning and growing. God has a plan for your life. Today, if you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, today could be the day of salvation. There are a lot of people who don't believe, because they want to live their own lives. They don't understand that there's going to be a day of reckoning. I promise you, there is. And the choices you've made now are going to stand for eternity if you don't change and accept what God's given to you, and that's Jesus Christ. Please don't leave here without knowing him. personal relationship. If you have questions about it, there's a lot of people after we're all done you could talk to about it. It's the most important decision you'll ever make because it will change your life all the way. I'm going to ask, we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask Kirk to come and lead us in a song. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the word today, and I thank you for all those that are in attendance here. The love you have for everybody sitting in this room today. The fact that you sent your son to die. I just pray that there would nobody leave this room without understanding clearly that they're making a choice one way or the other. And I hope they make the right choice, just as Kelsey has, that it'll make a difference in their life. Father, have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and